is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clemens, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. One thing that's not a top headline in this election is our national park system, but conservationists want you to think about it when you fill out your ballot. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
The National Parks Action Fund scorecard tallies the voting records for U.S. House members on bills about park funding, endangered species, and oil and gas development in and around parks. In Wisconsin's delegation, all six Republican House members got failing grades on the scorecard, and the two Democrats got A's. Kristen Brengel with the National Parks Action Fund says they're not trying to pick on members of Congress, but hope the scrutiny will help to change some votes moving forward.
This is just part of our value system. Do we love these places? Do we want to take care of them? Do we want to make sure they have adequate park rangers in them? And this vote is just a direct way to tell whether or not your member of Congress cares about the future of our national parks.
Overall, Brengel says more House members received Fs than As, in part because last year the House voted to cut funding for national parks by 13%. The scorecard is online at nationalparksaction.org. John Anfinson, a retired superintendent for the National Park Service, says keeping the park system in good shape should be a bipartisan priority.
For every dollar America puts into national parks, they get about $15 back. It's a money generator for America. So I think it's a positive thing to fund national parks. It brings money back instead of taking money away.
Even without a national park, the national scenic trails and other lands managed by the Park Service here in Wisconsin contributed more than $64 million in visitor spending last year to the state's economy and support over 900 jobs. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
UW Women's Volleyball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The UW Women's Volleyball team in Madison at the Fieldhouse against the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Badgers in third place in the Big Ten. College basketball, the Badgers men's team with a 79-67 win over Montana State. Head coach Greg Gard says the Badgers' next game is against the Appalachian State Mountaineers Sunday morning at 11.
Quick turnaround here for App State coming in on Sunday. Another good team. Different than what we've seen maybe for the last couple games, but a little bigger.
NBA, the Bucks with a 123-100 win over the Utah Jazz. Andre Jackson Jr. getting his first start, helping out on defense, Damian Lillard.
I thought he had a great game. Disruptor, energy, that's just the kind of player he is, and I think, you know, they felt his presence out there tonight.
The Bucks' Gary Trent Jr. only playing 8 minutes before dropping out in the first half.
Back spasms, yeah. I saw him running down the floor in the second quarter, and I turned and said, he's not running normal. I saw that.
That's the Buck Stock Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media is your spot for sports. From updates on your favorite teams, live broadcasts of the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, and Bucks, and local sports coverage in your community, we've got everything you need. Find a station near you at civicmedia.us or download the free app today. We'll have more news and talk coming up here on Civic Media's stream.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers. Find your favorite team over the air on Civic Media.
Oh, damn it.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or 855-75-CIVIC. Good morning to you, Calvin. It's your favorite day of the week.
Yeah, we made it to the end. It's been a long and crazy one, but we're here.
You know, man, I'm like you now. Thank God it's Friday.
you guys spent like 10 days in the desert or 40 days.
Hey, Sandy, what's going on, man?
Well, it's been a long week. You're absolutely right. It's felt long. It's been a long
last quarter of the year.
Yeah.
It really has been. By the way, that's my co-host Sandy Williams. He's been here all week, and I'm happy that he's been here. But Sandy, it's been nauseating. You go back to when you and I were talking, and Joe Biden was running, still running, and Donald Trump was just making mincemeat out of him, and Joe Biden. You go back to the debate where he was looking in the camera, flummoxed. Oh, I can't believe this guy says that. And so to have come from there to where we are now, man, that was a lot.
Well, and there was a lot of water under the bridge. But at that point, this outcome was quite predictable. At that point in the debate, it became less predictable in the meantime. But here we have, the outcome is here, and now we've got to sort of sit and wait and see how it plays out. The team hasn't been selected in terms of the cabinet. This is sort of like the off season for the Packers, and they haven't, the roster hasn't been made yet. You don't really know how they're going to do, but there's been some pronouncements. And we do have, obviously, some basis for predicting what might happen, but I think the news media kind of quickly falls into the process of the speculation about what plays are going to get called in the game and who's going to play and who's going to be on the roster. And, these social media, it's so annoying to me because I find an entry in social media that says blockbuster Packer trade. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what did they do? Then you get into it and it's not. It's just a trade that's been proposed by some social media person. It says, look at this trade. This could happen. So an awful lot of what we can talk about politically now is going to be a little bit like blockbuster trade.
Isn't there something to be said about the fact that, this was really a total destruction of the Democratic Party, and nobody in the Democratic Party said there's been cheating? Nobody in the Democratic Party said, well, if things if things don't go our way, we're going to protest. Nobody in the Democratic Party said they're cheating.
Well, I know.
Sandy, that has to be said.
Yeah, I do. I think the Democrats have obviously performed absolutely appropriately under our democratic process to try to restore the norms. And I hope that there aren't a lot of people out there like one of the callers yesterday who wanted to speculate that this reduction in Democratic votes was evidence that the last election was actually fraudulent and those votes allegedly, because I think they kept using the term, the votes that Biden allegedly got in 2020. The fact is that election was sanctified by lots of investigations. And it should have been the proof that everyone needed that the process was sacredly clean and done appropriately and according to the law. Now they've won, the people who were so skeptical about it, and I hope that they're now willing to embrace that and put that in the rearview mirror, that kind of talk, because that talk was very destructive.
I haven't heard one of them say, one of those people who support Donald Trump and the Republicans, that this was this particular election was rigged.
Yeah.
I wonder where they are. Why won't they say that now? But yeah. Had they lost, they clearly would have said it was rigged. As a matter of fact, they were lined up ready to go.
Yeah, they were teed up for that one.
Donald Trump, I remember saying before the election, we've got lawyers everywhere ready to go.
And, you know, I think that everyone who's got that point of view needs to kind of recalibrate now and look at the system that we have. And also, I think we all need to wait a couple of years and find out just how this administration plays out. I'm not terribly hopeful about it. You know, there are some areas in foreign affairs that at least would square with some of my views of things because I happen to be more isolationist, which should be a nonpartisan kind of an outlook on things. But we've got some things that are very important to us, and I think that the Democratic Party needs to take this period of time without a particular candidate in mind to reflect on the fact that an awful lot of exit polling suggested that people were alienated about the way they thought the national government was headed, and they thought it was headed in the wrong direction. But that alienation, when you got down and distilled it and looked at it, was really an alienation with their image of the Democratic Party, and this was a vote against the Democratic Party, which is how Donald Trump ran his campaign. He didn't run for very much at all other than the immigration situation, and he ran against Democrats and painted them with an ugly brush.
I want to ask you, you said we need to wait and see how, you know, Trump might do his thing this time around. We had him 4 years ago.
Well, I think
we kind of know who he is.
I know, but in terms of just speculating about
how badly he's
going to do it and which things he's going to do badly. I mean, I project that most of the things he will do and try to implement will be mishandled because that's been our experience for 4 years. He mishandled everything, really. And so my hope is that it isn't mishandled for our country's sake. But my prediction is that I think he's going to be more focused this time. I think he has people behind him who are far more willful and have an intent to accomplish things. I think there are things that Project 2025 was not just an exercise in futility, and there are definitely things in there which will attempt to be implemented, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, you used the term will attempt to be implemented. If they control all three branches of government, they can implement it. Right.
Well, the filibuster rule is there to keep things from passing the Senate on grease skids. But you know, here's the question: Are the Republicans, given the power they will have for at least 2 years of potentially controlling, having the troika in place, the control of the two houses and the White House, will they suspend because it's simply a rule, and the rule is adopted by a majority. So it is possible for the Republican majority in the Senate to drop the filibuster rule, which is which has been called the nuclear option when it was exercised by Reid, the Democratic head of the Senate, some years ago. And so we'll see if that happens. If that happens, it is a little closer to Katie bar the door in terms of what might get implemented.
Well, there was conversations on yesterday. I was watching conservative. I don't give up on watching conservative talk. And they were talking, well, why shouldn't we need to move forward now with the filibuster? We need to do that right now. The Democrats wanted to do it. We'll have total control. Let's do it now. And there would be nothing to stop them, right?
Well, but the problem is that if they do it, they should understand that the majority party will then just do it, okay, each time. And demographically speaking, now the fact is that one of the things the Democrats have to face up to is that the most recent polling that asked Americans what party they identified with had more Americans identifying with the Republican Party than the Democratic Party. So we can talk about the inevitable demographics of the country. And that those inevitable demographics are pushing people towards the Democratic Party. But that doesn't square with the facts. It also doesn't square with the outcome of this election, in which the demographic basis for predicting votes became much more problematic. And it appears that people assimilate into the U.S. population and begin to vote more like the general population more quickly than a lot of pundits wanted to think, and it made it more interesting to think about the country by being able to talk about it with demographic predictability. But, you know, in my lifetime, there used to be talk about the Irish vote, okay? And that used to be viewed as a demographic cohort that you could predict would be in the Democratic Party, okay? And nobody talks about the Irish vote anymore. And I think that the same thing is going to happen to the, for instance, Latino vote. You know, people, and this is the thing that Donald Trump, the lesson that the right ought to learn, and that is that people get assimilated into this country and become Americans, and they aren't to be labeled by the country from which they immigrate very long.
You know, it's the people themselves don't label themselves Americans, citizens. And others label them. If so, Hispanics who get here and in many instances who assimilate, become Americans, they're called Hispanic Americans.
Well, those are the rest of the Americans who call
right,
them Hispanic Americans.
Right, that's right, that's what I'm saying, right.
And those people think of themselves as Americans quite quickly in the process and probably resent, in fact, the notion that they should be labeled as Hispanic Americans when from their standpoint, they're just as American as that Irish American down the block. And, you know, the fact that we have all these forms we fill out that ask us questions
yes.
like this probably create resentment amongst those who feel compelled to answer Hispanic American. Should I answer English American?
Well, 855-752-4842. You know, it's Friday. It's Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. We're going to continue the conversation. We see you guys on the phones. You know, we're going to talk a little bit more about Project 2025 and where this thing is headed. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Looking for the game? Find us over the air for sports coverage on Civic Media stations.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so point for me.
Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best coworkers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Listen to sports coverage from Mike Clemens on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
That's life.
Now that's appropriate.
Yeah, that's what the music today is all about. Take your medicine.
All right. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host. And let me ask you one more question, Sandy, before we go to the phone lines. So the Democrats have been riding the Obama era and the successes and that kind of change agent that Obama was, and all of the excitement and bringing in younger people and all of that. Well, Obama's era is gone now. So they can't live off of that. You know, they trot Obama out and his wife, and he can, hey, yeah, and the Democrats get a shot of adrenaline. And because it's Obama and how people felt, that's over now.
Well, I think, you know, an interesting thing, my perception, and I've heard this now on a number of pundits and a number of people interviewed who are men on the street, people on the street, is that the Democratic image is one, it's ironic, because the Republican nominee, and now the president-elect, is someone who is a celebrity. But the image of the Democrats has become one of sort of the Ivy League, sharp, intelligent celebrity that Obama, whereas he was this cherished hero, has sort of become separate from Tom, Dick, and Mary and is part of the party of celebrities. And to some extent, Kamala, in the last days of this campaign, began to prove that to people by trotting out all kinds of celebrities who would announce on her behalf. And it might be that it was counterproductive, that the Tom, Dick, and Mary have felt separated from the Democratic Party, because it seems to be a party of the sort of Eastern intelligentsia, Ivy League-trained celebrity sorts, and its messaging to middle-class America has kind of faltered in the process.
All right, let's go to the phone lines, and Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I'm glad that we still have the First Amendment of free speech. You know, I want to say to all the callers out there, actually, every time I've ever called into your show, I've started out with "We the people ultimately are the government," and that includes all of us. I have talked about money and politics. I have talked about child care, health care, taxes, mortgage. I don't think the things I've ever talked about have been partisan. I think the things I've talked about are things that affect every single person that is out there. And for the other people out there that think I'm like scared because I'm gay, I'm not. I'm not a victim. I'm not going to be a victim. I've never been a victim. So I'm not worried about that. I am worried about other people within my community and people in the other marginalized communities that are out there, because Donald Trump has given them the green light to do whatever the hell they want and not have to face any type of repercussions for it. So people out there, I'm going to fight. I'm going to keep fighting. But I'm also going to fight to get money out of politics, because you know what? If I'm just giving up on that, it's never going to happen. I'm also going to fight for voter voter suppression out of our system. I'm also going to fight so people do. I'm actually the person that's going to fight for these MAGAs as time goes on, when they realize what they've done with their vote. I'm actually there to fight for them. I'm not there just to fight for myself. I'm here to fight for everybody. So people out there say, oh, I feel sorry for him, or, you know, someone calls up and says, oh, he must have a rough life. Oh, give me a break. I live in California. I live
Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, I guess, you know, we just don't want to get into.
Well, I know people did talk about Tom yesterday after he called. I don't blame him for standing up for himself and describing who he is. I do think we all make a mistake by trying to project to other people what it is they think and feel. You know, we did that yesterday with one of the callers as well. So anyway, it's points well taken, I think.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call, both of you. I heard Sandy say that Trump didn't run on anything.
Look, CJ, can we drop this? Trump is elected president. I'm not attacking Trump at all in the discussion I had. What I said was that he didn't talk about many issues. He talked about immigration and several others, but he ran a very hard campaign against the Democrats and liberals, and labeling the liberals. And this is just factual, CJ. We don't have to argue about it. But how silly to continue this. I'm not here talking against Donald Trump today. We're just here trying to diagnose what happened in the election. So, you know, drop that. If you want to talk about what happened in the election, let's do that.
Okay, let's talk about what's going to happen in the future. You're going to see peace through strength. We watched your party, maybe not you, you're trying to rewrite it now, but rewrite history. The border was secure for 2.5
years. CJ, again, this is the blockbuster trade conversation. The proof will be in the pudding about what's going to happen in the next administration, because you're going to have 4 years to watch it play out. So can we drop that too? Can we just talk about what we think happened in America with respect to people? I mean, you're someone who has a great deal of disdain for liberals, okay? And I have a question for you. What is it about people who you would describe as liberal that you find to be so upsetting that you would, for instance, say that you would never vote as a Democrat? I'm sure if I asked you that question, you'd say, I would never pull a vote for a Democrat. But the question is, why?
I never said that.
Okay, well, would you? Would you? Would you vote for a Democrat?
You know, here, can I ever respond?
No,
to you?
No. This, you've called in, and you weren't responding. Now I'm asking you a question, and can we just have a dialogue, CJ? That's all I'm asking. I'm not trying to interrupt you. I'm just saying, can we have a dialogue when you call in?
You never let me.
All right, CJ. 855-752. 4842, guys. Hang on. We're going to continue the conversation. Friday's
covering the games and biggest sports news. Listen daily to Mike Clemens on Civic Media.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
One thing that's not a top headline in this election is our national park system. But conservationists want you to think about it when you fill out your ballot. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
The National Parks Action Fund scorecard tallies the voting records for U.S. House members on bills about park funding, endangered species, and oil and gas development in and around parks. In Wisconsin's delegation, all six Republican House members got failing grades on the scorecard, and the two Democrats got A's. Kristen Brengel with the National Parks Action Fund says they're not trying to pick on members of Congress, but hope the scrutiny will help to change some votes moving forward.
This is just part of our value system. Do we love these places? Do we want to take care of them? Do we want to make sure they have adequate park rangers in them? And this vote is just a direct way to tell whether or not your member of Congress cares about the future of our national parks.
Overall, Brengel says more House members received Fs than As, in part because last year the House voted to cut funding for national parks by 13%. The scorecard is online at nationalparksaction.org. John Anfinson, a retired superintendent for the National Park Service, says keeping the park system in good shape should be a bipartisan priority.
For every dollar America puts into national parks, they get about $15 back. It's a money generator for America. So I think it's a positive thing to fund national parks. It brings money back instead of taking money away.
Even without a national park, the national scenic trails and other lands managed by the Park Service here in Wisconsin contributed more than $64 million in visitor spending last year to the state's economy and support over 900 jobs. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After signing a multi-picture deal with Lionsgate, Taylor Sheridan is turning out TV shows at an alarming rate, such as Tulsa King, Yellowstone, The Mayor of Kingstown, 1883, 1923, and Lioness. Lioness in particular just became the fourth biggest premiere on Paramount+. The show found its way into 3 million homes in the first 7 days of its release a couple weeks ago. The show stars Zoe Saldana, Nicole Kidman, Morgan Freeman, and Michael Kelly, and is supposedly based on the CIA's actual Lioness program. If you like high-powered weaponry, military jargon, and lots of gunfire, this is the show for you. Warner Brothers Discovery is reporting that its streaming or direct-to-consumer service is booming as its theatrical business declines. The studio says it's gained over 7 million subscribers in the third quarter alone for this year, according to Screen Daily. This is the biggest gain ever for subscribers that has been reported since the launch of Max in 2020. Everyone is chasing Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clements daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He is a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. Experience. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. So Sandy, let's do this. Let's go to the phone line. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan.
Good morning. I'm glad to hear you. I love this program. I think that what's going to happen, and it's already started, that people are going to be totally aware of what Trump and his administration are doing. And one of the things that I noticed on Facebook this morning were a number of people who actually listed the prices of gasoline, eggs, food, bread, apartments, online, what a price of a average new car is, what a used car is. And he promised to put more money in their pocket. And this is one of the things that people voted on, figuring that Trump would allow them to keep more of their money. And I think that what's going to happen, and I don't know if it's the young people as much as the old people, but we're going to keep Trump's feet to the fire.
Hey Susan.
You promise these things.
Hey, Susan. Yeah. Older people, not old people.
Older.
All right. Sorry. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Finish your point.
My point is that we're going to make people totally aware, and of what's going on. I think that people, because of their life, and because they don't have the paper, remember we used to have paper, and we used to have the news every night. So we read the Journal and the Sentinel, and we knew exactly what was going on. These people don't have this, and they only get little sound bites of stuff. So us older people on Facebook and the other mediums are going to keep these young people totally aware of what's going on and how his administration is affecting their life. And this is the way that we're going to get through to them.
Hey, Susan, perfect timing with that, because Sandy and I were talking about, where we are, Sandy.
Well, it was like prescient that you said that, because off the air we decided that what we talk about this next segment is that the people need to make sure that everyone is aware of what the economy looks like, feels like, and tastes like that we're handing to Donald Trump, the new incoming president, so that we can measure the performance of that economy and everyone can remember the strength of it and the issues that were involved within it, to see whether, in fact, things get better in this next 4 years. Because the things that he proposes in terms of high tariffs, for instance, and some of the other programs that he has will definitely increase interest rates, because they will cause inflation. And we're going to find out that mortgage rates will go up, and the cost of building is going to go up, and the scarcity of housing is going to increase. And rents could well increase, and all of the things that Tom, Dick, and Mary experience might well be eroded in these next 4 years. And so one of the problems Joe Biden had during the 4 years of his economy was, I think, messaging, not being able to explain the strength in the economy, as well as empathizing with those who were not experiencing the benefit of that economy. And that's been going on for a long time. Tom, Dick, and Mary have had trouble getting the wealth divvied up in a manner that allows them to experience it. But I think we should watch this closely, and I think we'll see that the policies that are being promised, if they're implemented, will not be beneficial.
So let me ask you, it's been a long time since the wealth has been divvied up, and under both Democrat and Republican leadership. So how is it possible? Who's going to take the lead, and where does the benevolence come from to tell those who have benefited overwhelmingly that now it's time to share?
Well,
where does that come from?
Well, it can happen, I think, because in spite of this election, there were a number of states who went for Trump who also went for $15 minimum wage or $16 minimum wage. That isn't enough, okay? But that's definitely a recognition that Tom, Dick, and Mary have to have attention paid to the income that's being experienced in the middle and lower middle part of the middle class of America. And I think that if we pay attention to it politically, as the out party, at least, there's a chance that we can pay attention to it with policies that will help affect it. So that some of that is taxing policies. A great deal of it might well be taxing policies. And some of it has to do with other policies like child daycare and relieving some of the budgetary items that are such a problem that are causing Tom, Dick, and Mary to live paycheck to paycheck. There's no promise in Project 2025 or in the discussion by Donald Trump of doing things that will help Tom, Dick, and Mary on the budget side of their issue. There's talk about prices and the inflation that was experienced, but none of the policies being discussed by Donald Trump will have an impact that's positive with respect to grocery prices or the rest of it.
So how can you, Sandy, that was the main topic of conversation by Republicans and Donald Trump, the price of groceries, the price of gas, the price of rent, all those things that were hammering away on, this is what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris did to you.
Yeah.
And now that they're there,
mm-hmm.
same thing should happen to them.
Well, absolutely. And you know, this whole gasoline thing, okay, that the drill, baby, drill, getting more oil coming out of the ground is not going to help the refining capacity of the United States and its capacity to deliver gasoline to the fuel pumps in greater quantities. And we're already producing more oil than any other country in the world, even though we're like 11th or 12th in terms of the amount of oil reserves we have underground. We are producing more oil than all of the countries that have much more oil under the ground than we do. And so we're depleting our reserves at a more rapid rate, and however, our refining capacity, our capacity to turn oil into gasoline is finite, and it hasn't increased for a long time. And there's no program that's being announced that is likely to make it increase.
Well, nobody wants a refinery anywhere near them, knowing the health.
Even if they suspend the regulatory problems associated with getting approvals for where to build a refinery, the oil companies are not lining up to spend the billions of dollars needed to build new refineries because they need to recover they need to get returns on that investment over the next 30 or 40 years. And everyone in the oil industry knows that 30 and 40 years from now, the public is not going to be using oil at the same rate that they are today.
So the people who have constantly harped on the gasoline prices under Biden and Harris, well, with Donald Trump, it was $1.90. Well, it's $2.55.
Well,
I went and bought gasoline today for $2.55.
Well, and when it was $1.90, it was because of everyone being shut-ins and not using their cars. So that had more to do with the demand for gasoline than it had to do with the supply for gasoline.
So for those who continue to talk about that, it's just nonsensical because that's not an issue. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
You guys, I commend Sandy for being on air 5 days in a row. I like listening to you. You're very good with you and Earl. You guys work off each other very well. I'm just wondering, do you think that Thomas and Alito are going to retire and Trump is going to try to get new people in? And then can't remember the Spanish gal's name. She's
Sotomayor. Sotomayor. You've been listening to the conservative shows and talking points very well, because that's precisely what they're talking about.
Well, it's altogether possible that Clarence Thomas and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the people who were liberals who were hoping to sustain the liberal bent of the Supreme Court, were hoping that she would retire and at a time when a Democrat could appoint her successor. She didn't. It might well be that the two conservatives you mention will be more inclined to do so. And if so, then Trump will have the ability to appoint conservatives who have a longer fuse, forward-looking fuse, than those two individuals. Yeah, it could well happen.
Okay. And then one other point is, do you think that the media, CBS, NBC, all those different stations, CNN, MSNBC, do you think they're going to change the way they start, you know, showing their bias?
Let me ask you, has Fox News changed the way they show bias, Gary? I watch Fox News every day. So are you asking them to change their biases? No.
No, but what I'm okay. Earl, let me just get it out. I'm just asking if do you think that they're going to be a little bit more fair, because believe it or not,
Fox News isn't fair, Gary.
Well, you know, let's just, you know, drop. Let's suspend fiction for a minute, and say that, you know, Donald Trump, one of his strategies was to be controversial, okay, and to say outrageous things. And plenty of the people who support him, I think you included, would say, you know, I wish he wouldn't say all the things he says, and I wish he wouldn't behave in all the ways he behaves. But okay, and one of the reasons that the news media, I think, gets painted as being negative Trump was self-designed by Donald himself, which was to say things that would subject him to attack so that he could claim victim status.
Poor me.
And it has worked. No, the guy's shrewd. Okay. It was very effective, but he asked for it and wanted it. I think if the left media, the liberal media, had not picked up on all of it, he would have been sorely disappointed, and they probably helped create him in the process. But what he said was designed to be newsworthy in a negative way, and he got attention that way.
I agree with you, because what he said about, what's her gal's name? Cheney, okay? He said, I know what he said. He meant that.
What do you mean?
Willing to bring.
Hey, Gary. See, you know what he said and what he meant. So you are going to be the arbiter of what he meant.
Well, we've talked about it twice now, and this is the third time. But with respect to that conversation, I think Bill Maher did a good, you know, I think it might well be that his overall superficial intent was to talk about her as being a chicken hawk who was willing to send people to war but not willing to go to war. But his discussion of it was unbelievably violent, number one. And number two, when he described 9 rifles aimed at her face, he was describing a firing squad. That's the only situation in which 9 rifles, that number, are used and are aimed at someone's face. So, you know, I think it's all purposeful.
All right. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
We're airing a game right now, but stay here on the stream for more Civic Media news, talk, and more.
The John and Gordy Show.
Optimism alone is not enough to ward off despair, but hope can. Regardless of how things may turn out, hope is what can still get you to the better place eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have hope because you expect things to turn out well. You have hope because what that hope is rooted in is worth it regardless.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, yeah. But I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you,
bye.
Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Download the free Civic Media app today at civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. I mean, it's Friday. It's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
This is all about taking our medicine, you know. It's various singers, various groups talking about moving on.
All right, let's go to Jean from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Jean. You say what?
You know, I don't appreciate a passive-aggressive type person. Oh, I'm really for this. And then stab you. You get that every time from Gary. Now listen here, mister. I ain't no youngster, but God dang it, I pay attention to what's going on in my country. Just because people haven't gotten the information, and when they do get it, they're going to have an eye-opening experience. Because I had all the same crapola sent to me with lies and deception where I live, painting Kamala Harris as this horrible person and Tammy Baldwin and any liberal. And I, sir, have never belonged to a party in my life. Women are dying. There was no love and joy, peaceful protest on January 6th. I don't vote for a person who puts their name on a Bible and sells it for all kinds of money. This is sick. I don't support somebody that goes after people who don't love the same type of person as I do. Give me a break. So you just gloat, buddy, because a lot of people are waking up. They woke up with Scotty Walker, too. They wouldn't vote for him again. So give me a break.
All right, Gene, thank you very much for the call. You woke up some folk, Gene. Let's go to Terry from Northwoods. Good morning to you, Terry. You say what?
I'd like to comment, Earl, about the votes.
Go ahead.
The number of votes compared to 81 million that Joe Biden got.
Yes, sir.
Versus 74, I think was the exact number, 81 to 74.
Right.
The 2020. And, of course, this year, I'm thinking, I haven't checked on it lately, but I think it's around 72 billion.
Million,
I should say.
Yeah.
To 68.
Right.
And I heard yesterday, I was listening to a guy, he was talking about there's 262 million people in this country that are eligible to vote over the age of 18. So if you add that together, that's 140 million people cast ballots for the president anyway. So you've got a bunch left over. What is that, 122 million people are out there to get, to be recruited, whatever.
Yeah.
Open their eyes. So I take a little solace in that. I just wish Kamala could have duplicated Joe's numbers, but whatever reason, it didn't happen. So, and I'm a little disturbed about 53% of white women voted for this rascal, and that's hard for me to swallow. Besides, Latino men, I think, voted for him too in a majority, where the Latino women didn't.
So Terry, man, thank you. We're going to get into some of that a little bit later on. Let's go to Ann from Chippewa Falls. Good morning to you, Ann. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First of all, I love your show. And
thank you.
I love Jean. I love Jean. She's spot on. Thank you, Jean, for speaking up as an older woman. I'm an educator and I'm a military vet. And we all put our pants on the same way, one leg at a time, girls. And I'm disappointed, too, with white women. I just hope people don't realize that the rest of us white women were for Kamala Harris. And Trump, his character is what they voted on, and they're going to get it. If I had a student in my classroom that acted the way Trump did, there would be those same white women calling the office to get that kid out of that room with their children. Now they put him in the highest position. Shame on them. That's all I have to say. And thank you, Earl, for doing what you do.
Hey, Ann, you know, I got a co-host with me. And Sandy and his intellect and all the things that he adds, you know, we do this together. But we're going to talk about Sandy, the women, and what happened.
Yeah.
Because I did a show a couple weeks ago solely about women, and I thought the women were going to stop him. I didn't think there was any way with what Donald Trump has said and done to women that women would, you know, vote for him.
Well, and I think, you know, they didn't vote for him in the same proportions as white men, white women
right.
didn't. So there is a gender difference in their outlook. But I think, as I was saying before, I think that these demographic groups that you can identify are less likely to behave politically in a predictable way than pollsters and politicians would like to think. And so, and it's been, it was demonstrated in this particular election that people didn't behave as predictably according to their demographics as people thought they would. And I think it's because overall, these differences aren't as extreme as we think. The gender difference, men and women, yes, but we're all looking at that and thinking about the same things. They did have a difference, and it was material. It just wasn't as material as people thought it would be.
All right, guys, hang on. 855-752-4842. Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
News, talk, community, and local sports. Thanks for listening to Civic Media.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today.